Yes, sure. John, would you like to start?
Good afternoon, everyone. We only have one agenda item today, which is the update from the license. I was expected to take about an hour at least in terms of the updated shield for feedback. So then I'm just turn it straight over to you.
Yes, so we have only one agenda item. I'm pretty sure we wouldn't take the whole hour. So we will just walk you through this update, and also we just wanted to highlight all the other things that are happening in the background. All right, shall we start?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So at today's meeting, we are planning to continue our discussion on the proposed changes to the IFRS taxonomy identified in the analysis of the common reporting practice for disclosures for IFRS 13 fair value measurement. So today we are planning to provide you with a short overview of the proposed changes, and I think it will be just easier if we take all the questions that you might have at the end of the presentation. It will be a fairly short presentation. So back at the April ITCG meeting, you might remember that we have already discussed some proposed changes for the common reporting practice for the IFRS 13. They were mostly related to the sensitivity analysis. At this meeting today, we would like to seek your views on the other proposed changes we have identified in our analysis. So if we move to slide 3, you can see here the high-level overview of the topics for today's discussions. The changes discussed today are relatively simple additions of 9 line items or members to existing IFRS taxonomy modeling. We have separated them into 4 sections that are related to different disclosures in IFRS 13. So in summary, we are proposing to add 2 members to valuation techniques, 4 line items to significant inputs used in the measurement of IFRS 13, 1 line item to the reconciliation of changes of opening to closing balance for level 3 fair value measurement, and 2 line items for transfer between levels. In the appendix, we have provided you some explanation of what the levels are for fair value hierarchy and what do they mean. So now if we move to slide 5, it shows the planned project timetable towards the publication of the proposed IFRS taxonomy update for public consultation. As you can see, we are planning to bring any follow-up issues in July, if there will be any, obviously. Then we will plan to do some finalization work of the proposed IFRS taxonomy update, which includes the document and also the files, during the summertime. And also during the summertime, we are planning to ask the ITCG members to review the IFRS taxonomy file as requested by the due process. And then we are aiming to issue the proposed IFRS taxonomy update in September, together with the webinar and any additional materials that we normally publish with the proposed taxonomy updates. Now, if we move to slide 6, I will not go into the details because this is the slide that we have already seen. It's just providing an update to maybe those people who are on the phone but maybe do not remember the background for the common reporting practice projects. The IFRS 13 was mostly started as a kind of alignment with the IFRS 13 post-implementation review. Now, slide 7, it just provides you a very quick reminder that IFRS 13 requires disclosures for asset liabilities and entities' own equity instruments. On the slides that we are going to go through, we have proposed all additional line items only for assets, but we do understand them to be equally applicable to liabilities and entities' own equity instruments, and we propose to add them for all of those categories. We just use assets as an example to make the presentation simpler. Now, Karlin will provide you an overview of those 9 new elements we are proposing to add to the IFRS taxonomy.
Thank you. So let's start with the first set of proposed elements, which are all related to the disclosure of valuation techniques used in fair value measurement. The access and members we currently have in the IFRS taxonomy are presented on slide 9, And the current members are all valuation techniques that are mentioned either in the implementation guidance or in the illustrative examples accompanying IFRS 13. Now, we've identified two valuation techniques that are commonly used by entities, but for which we don't have an element in the IFRS taxonomy yet. The first valuation technique is net asset value, and slide 10 shows the proposed documentation label, the proposed element reference, and the proposed relation to the existing elements. And as you can see, we are proposing to add net asset value at the same level as the market approach, cost approach, and income approach, because we understand that net asset value can be based on a combination of these three approaches. Then the second common valuation technique we've identified is the income capitalization approach. This is a technique that is often used for valuing real estate, and we're proposing to add this new member as a child to the existing income approach member, as you can see on slide 11. Then moving on to the second set of proposed new elements on slide 12. IFRS 13 requires a disclosure of the value of significant unobservable inputs used for level 3 fair value measurements. And we're proposing to add some new types of significant unobservable inputs, as you can see on slide 13. They are discount rate, rent, capitalization rate, and credit spread. And for three of these new elements, we're proposing to use the percent data type, but for rent, we found it is expressed in different units by different entities. For example, one entity might say rent is 100 euros per square meter per month, whereas another entity might say 100 euros per square foot per year. And that is why we're proposing to use the decimal element type to allow entities to specify the appropriate unit. And we're proposing to keep the documentation labels for these new elements fairly generic, in line with the documentation labels we have for the existing items. Then moving on to the third set of elements on slide 40.
Excuse me, can I just say that we hear quite a lot of background noise? If you can maybe mute your phone lines, that would be quite helpful.
What we can do is I'll put everyone in presenter mode.
Thank you.
Okay. So moving on to the third set of elements on slide 14. IFRS 13 requires entities to disclose a reconciliation from opening to closing balance for level 3 fair value measurements, and the standard specifies which reconciling items entities should report, and the IFRS taxonomy currently includes line items that reflect those requirements, as you can see on slide 14. And in our sample, we analyse whether entities present any other line items in their reconciliations. And one commonly reported line item we found is translation differences, and we propose to add this element as a new line item. One other item we commonly found in such reconciliations is disposals. However, we think most entities actually use this as a synonym for sales, and we already have an element for sales, so we're not proposing to add a disposal element. And then finally, the last set of elements relates to the requirement to disclose transfers between levels of the fair value hierarchy during the year. We found that entities commonly report a statement that there were no transfers between level 1 and level 2 of the fair value hierarchy, or they report a statement that there were no transfers between any of the fair value levels. And currently we have no text elements to tag this type of statements. We only have monetary elements to tag the amount of the transfers, and we have text elements to tag the reason for the transfers. So that's why we're proposing to add the two line items listed on slide 17. And then slide 18 provides a summary of the 9 proposed additions, and we would like to hear your views on these proposals, so we'll now open up for discussion.
Hi, this is Lou Roman. I have a question on slide 10. I guess my first comment is the market approach, cost approach, income approach, and then asset value. I really try to think of a better way to do this, but it's odd that net asset value is really not one of those three approaches. It's a combination of them. So, in other words, the market approach, cost approach, income approach are a set of approaches, and throwing net asset value on there almost sounds like a child of each of them. But again, I tried to think of a different way to do it and couldn't, and so I think this is the best, most practical approach. But then on slide 11, so I'm suggesting no changes there. If we go to slide 11, I have a second comment, which is the income capitalization approach member. I really think using the word approach is wrong there, that it's not an approach. It's more of a technique, and the standard talks about those two things. So I would suggest changing the name of that to income capitalization model, or just income capitalization. Because I think there are three approaches, and you know, income approach, cost approach, and market approach are the three approaches. So does that make sense?
Yes, thank you, Lou. I think coming back to your first point, that was exactly the problems and the considerations that we had related to valuation techniques. When we look at it for the first time, we felt that it sounds like it should be like a child to each of those members, but we just decided to put it next to them. It looks a little bit weird, but we also thought that it's one of the least evils that of the solutions that we have found. On the slide 11, I think it's a fair comment, and I think we will think about it. Thank you very much.
Okay. I do have another comment on slide 15.
Okay.
The in red there it says translation. We've been over there, translation differences. And I think the better term, and I think what's called more often the standard, is net exchange differences as opposed to translation difference, which I think most often we don't refer to as translation differences other than OCI. So I would propose changing the name of that element to net exchange differences, comma, fair value measurements, comma, assets. In other words, it's net currency exchange differences as opposed to translation differences.
Okay. Thank you very much. I think it's a fair comment as well.
Isn't this that blue
all I have?
Sorry, this is Lewis Mazzone. We have a couple of comments here. On slide 13, with the unobservable input, our experience has been that these are highly variable, and we in the past had actually done these as line items, and recently had moved this to a dimensional construct because of the variability that we saw in the data. So I don't know if that's something you had considered, but something to think about. And then on slide 17, I'm just wondering if you had considered modeling the statement that there were no transfers between level one and level two, two items you have here. Did you consider modeling these as Boolean?
Thank you, Luis. So, coming back to slide 13, as probably the IDCG members, but also other observers might recollect, we have been discussing at the April face-to-face meeting this consideration, and I think we have decided to put them as the all the line items that are on the slide 12 as members. There was a consideration whether we should keep them as line items or not, but I think it's fair to say that whatever we are adding to this list, we will obviously consider the same modeling issue or decisions that are applicable to any other elements on slide 12 already. On slide 17, it's a very good point, interesting question. I think the problem currently is that in the IFRS taxonomy we do not include any booleans, so it's a feature of the taxonomy that we currently do not use. So I think it's a good idea, but we will need to consider whether there are any other places that we would need to include it before thinking about it, or whether we even want to introduce booleans. So, Luis, I know that you're using for the US GAAP taxonomy build booleans, and I know you've got an experience with this, and whatever we will be thinking about including that in the IFRS taxonomy, I think it would be useful to maybe reach out and talk about it.
All right, that's all I have.
Thank you very much, Luis.
Hello, good evening, Susan. I have actually a slightly different comment about slide 17.
Okay.
And if you look at that, if you look at the text, so the statement that there were no transfers, now presumably we would know that because people would not be reporting an amount for that transfer. And my question would be, if you looked at the existing text elements that are for a description of the reason for the transfer, if you were actually to take those elements and make them slightly more general, and call them perhaps description of transfers rather than the reason for the transfer, you could actually include any text related to that transfer in that element. You wouldn't necessarily need a separate element. So I'm not sure, you know, because we're not reporting any monetary amount for the transfer, my question, yeah, thank you, there we go. Is whether we could actually explicitly incorporate the existence of a statement that there were no transfers in the existing text element, rather than creating a whole separate element to just say there weren't any.
Yeah, thank you, Susan. I think it's an interesting idea. I think just talking very quickly, we probably will need to think about that, but I think very quickly the issue that might come up is that the description of reasons are the elements that were created as a requirement, so they have the reference to the IFRS standards, and those two elements we will expect they will have the reference to the common practice, so maybe mingling those two might be confusing for people, even though I think it's a nice idea because I don't like to extend taxonomy to include a lot of elements, but I'm wondering if the reference wouldn't be confusing for people.
Just so I understand, so if there were none, you would show, I'll just do the level one, level two. There would be kind of a blank there or a zero if there were none in the first line.
It could be.
Like it has to be blank or zero. Is there anything else you could put in?
No. So this would be, so this is an element monetary, so there will need to be a number.
Okay, so it's a zero.
Yeah.
Then, and it does make sense that if you knew and it was publicized that, so if there was a dollar amount there, you would then expect to see the transfer. And if there was a zero there, this would just confirm it. There were no transfers.
Yeah.
As opposed to creating, if everybody knew that and they knew to look there, wouldn't that save just the increase in the number? Like, it seems like a reasonable suggestion.
I think it would. I think the issue with that is the elements that we currently have, they are monetary. So what we have also found common in practice is that people just include a statement. So it's not a monetary, it's just a statement, there are no transfers between levels. And people would not be able to use this element because it has the characteristic of a monetary instead of the text.
No, she's putting it in the next one down.
Oh, the description.
Yeah. So you would have little couplets.
Mm-hmm.
If there was an amount, there would be a dollar amount in the first with a description, or there would be a zero with a confirmation in the second that said there were no transfers.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, I think that's what the person's suggesting,
yes.
Which saves an increase in a...
Yes, but I think the problem which we might have with that situation is because every element has the reference to either IFRS standards or to common practice, illustrative examples, and so on. So the examples that we have related to description of reasons have a reference to the IFRS standard because it's a direct requirement from the standard. If we mingle that with the common practice and make like a kind of mix of element, I'm concerned that people might be confused that this is, for example, something that is required by the IFRS standard, which in fact is not. Thank you, Susan. Do we have any other ideas, comments?
Hello.
Is there another comment, question?
I think it might have been Chi. Hello.
Sounds like break up, so that I don't know, I can speak now or not, but the
yes.
I think I agree with what you say, explain about the patient as well as 18. I think it sounds reasonable, so that, no, it is that you explain about the withdrawal. Like, it sounds very reasonable. I agree your proposals.
Thank you very much, Chi.
Do we have any other comments or feedback, Brian? Yeah, I said, are you okay with comments, feedback, or something?
Yes, thank you very much. It's very helpful. I understand that lack of comments is an agreement, so that's even more helpful. So thank you very much.
Okay. Are there any next actions that you want to share with the group,
With relation to this, yes, we had next steps, I think, in one of the slides. I think it was slide 5. So what we are planning to do, we are going to continue working on it and finalize all the changes. If there will be any follow-up issues, we are planning to do it at the beginning of July, where we have scheduled another call. Otherwise, we are just planning to finalize the IFRS taxonomy update document and all the files, IFRS taxonomy files, but also all the other related additional materials, which you can see on the kind of the last column. We normally produce quite a lot of materials, and they are being published all together in September. So what we expect from the IDCG members, if we don't bring anything for the July meeting, is to send you the IFRS taxonomy files, which we normally do around summertime. We try to make sure that, we know it's a holiday season, so we try to make sure that you have enough time to look at them, and then we will try to introduce your comments and then publish for the documents with the files for public consultation in September.
Okay, great. If there's nothing else from your side either, or from the team side, comments, I think we're okay for us this meeting is concerned. We only have the one agenda. So thanks everyone for...
I'm sorry, John. I just wanted to give you a little bit of an update of other things that are happening in the background, if that's okay. It wouldn't take a lot of time. I think
yes.
It's around 5 minutes.
If you could have...
Yes, so I just wanted to highlight, some of you maybe have already seen that in the middle of May, so it was after the last IPCG face-to-face meeting, we have published annual report and we have managed for the first time to release at the same time the XBRL file and inline XBRL at the same time. So the files are available on the website. If you're interested, you can look at them. There is also a number of other technical projects related to annual taxonomy that we are still working on, and we are hopefully going to publish them by the end of June or maybe at the beginning of July, and those are illustrative examples. We have sent them for your review, and we would like to thank you very much for your comments. We are currently looking at them and the process of considering them, and we are hoping to publish the updated version of examples based on IFRS Taxonomy 2017 for all the technical changes that we've done, and also the examples based on the IFRS Taxonomy 2018. We are also working on the formula link base. We don't expect there will be a lot of changes based on the changes from between the IFRS Taxonomy 2017 and 18, but we are planning to send that quickly for your review as well, just to make sure we didn't miss anything sometime in June. And also the last piece of work on the IFRS Taxonomy 2019 is the webinar. We are also working on it, and hopefully we will be able to publish that in June. Still, obviously, in the pipeline, there was a lot of discussion at the face-to-face meeting on the implementation changes, including implementation notes. We are hopefully planning to send you some of the changes during summertime enough. We will just make sure that you have enough time to be able to look at them. I think we also quite busy with producing translations, so Vladek will give you just two sentences just to update you where we are with that.
Yes, we published back in end of May, we published two translations for 2017 IFRS taxonomy. It was translation, Hungarian translation and Korean translations. So if you go to our IFRS taxonomy page and click on new tab, you have those two items on top of the list. What you can do is you can check IFRS taxonomy illustrated in those languages and versioning between the previous version of the translation to the latest version for the 2017 taxonomy. At the moment we are working on forms for the translations. This will be sent out to interested countries that wants to translate 2018 IFRS taxonomy. So at the moment, that's all. We have translated five translations for the 2017 taxonomy, and we are about to send other forms for 2018 translations.
So I think that is all from the update from us.
Okay, thanks very much for the additional update. Any clarifications from the ICG or any of the updates? No, sounds good. Thanks everyone for dialing in, and thanks guys for the updates and the information that you provided the group. Do we have a call in July?
I think we have scheduled something at the beginning of July, so we will just go through all the materials and see if there is anything else, and we will update you of whether it will go ahead or not.
Okay, so we're still scheduled for the July call unless we hear otherwise.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thanks again, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.